How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. Today we are doing the Adelaide Crows as our team preview, and we're getting towards the pointy end, which is exciting. I'm your host, Mel, and today I'm joined by Will. How's it going, Will?
G'day, everyone. I'm very, very well. Thank you, Mel.
Excellent. Love to hear it. So, Adelaide, been a pretty well-performing team in the past. How did they go last season?
Yeah, they're clearly the most successful AFLW team across the competition's history. And last year, well, they didn't win the flag, but they were still a pretty dominant team. They finished on top of the ladder, 9 wins and 1 loss, had 190 as their percentage, and they lost in the prelim final by a single point. So they were pretty bloody close to doing it once again. They're such a powerful side. There's no reason to think they won't be right up there again this year.
Yeah, I agree. And they've had a few ins in the off-season, but not too many.
Yeah, it's been a pretty quiet off-season for the Crows. They've had a few ins through the draft, a couple of talented South Australians in Brooke Boileau, Tamara Henry, and Lily Tarlington. And have also signed an Irish recruit, Amy Boylcar, as a preseason signing.
Yeah, cool. So at least one of those draftees, I know we're going to talk about a bit later. But in terms of their major outs, you can't go past Montana McKinnon. He was spoken about at length throughout this preseason, both from excitement and then disappointment. But who else has left the Crows in the offseason?
Yeah, Montana McKinnon was the main big out. They had two players retire, Von Bonner and Lisa Whiteley, both retired. And they've also delisted a few of their depth players, Mackenzie Dowrick, Amber Ward, and Hannah Button. So really not a whole lot of list movement for the Crows this year, Montana McKinnon being the main out, but that just presents a bit of opportunity elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for a club that's done so well in the past, they've got quite a core list of players. And yeah, we've seen them pretty much stick through again in coming into season 9. One of their, core players for a long time, we've had Caitlin Gould as our interviewee for the Adelaide Club, which is quite an exciting one to get. Season 6 premiership player. So let's throw over to that interview that you luckily were able to have earlier this week.
Indeed. G'day everyone, and we are very lucky to be talking to Adelaide superstar Caitlin Gould today. How are you going, Caitlin?
Good, thank you. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Very glad to have you. I'm going very, very well. I guess first question, pre-season's now started. The Crows, like every year, have had a really good year in 2023. You're a kick off a grand final. How's the feeling around the club, especially given you've once again had a really great period of success?
Yeah, the girls have been doing really well. We've had a really strong off season. The girls worked super hard. We had lots of group sessions that we did together during that period. And then getting into pre-season now. Yeah, it's been awesome to see just that transition from the off season to pre-season. And yeah, the girls are looking super fit. Everyone's been working on certain things that they want to work on during that period. And then obviously we had our preseason game against Port. And yeah, I guess that just showed heaps of what everyone's kind of worked on. So that's, it's super exciting to see. And yeah, excited for round one.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I guess one of the things that as a supporter of a different club, I'm so envious of the success that Adelaide's had. And every year you seem to come out, play really great football and stay in contention. I'm pretty sure you've been in the top four every single year of your career pretty much, which is an amazing record. What aspects of the footy club do you think is particularly important in driving that culture of success?
Yeah, I think honestly, every season we just make it out like a new season. We obviously look back on, the seasons we've had and, we're really proud of the way we go about our business every season. But yeah, when a new season comes about, we definitely take it on as a brand new season. And I think, you kind of added on, our culture and the culture we have at Adelaide is just really special. And I think all of us girls, we just all get along so well. We're really connected and like not even just the players, like the staff, the coaches. We're just, yeah, we're really connected, and I think, you know, we just get along really well, and we're all are aiming for the same thing, which is success. And I think throughout the past few seasons, it's kind of showed of, you know, we want to get better every year. Obviously, the past few seasons, not being able to get to the big dance has been obviously disappointing, but every year we just want to come out and, you know, try our hardest and get to that stage. And hopefully this season will be that. But yeah, again, we take each season as it comes, and, you know, each game as it comes too. We don't want to look too far ahead of things. We just want to take one game as it comes and yeah, do the very best we can.
Yeah, of course. And I guess something that's probably been a big part of your culture has been the leadership at the club. And I guess this year it must be a little bit strange to not have Chelsea Randall leading the team. Of course, she's still there as a leader, but how's the transition to the new co-captains, Sarah Allen and Ebony Marinoff been?
So obviously, Chelsea was our captain previously, and you know, she's just a natural leader as it comes, and you know, she'll continue to be like that. And I think the best thing about, you know, this team is we have so many leaders around the club, like even just the youth coming through, like we have just such a range wide of leaders that come through and they lead in there by their own example. But to have Ebony and Sarah as co-captains of this footy club is it's going to be awesome, and I think it's just going to give us like a, you know, a fresh perspective. And I think the way that they both lead, like I think it's really going to complement, you know, they're going to complement each other in that aspect of things. And you know, they've even showed that now, like they've, yeah, they're just really, you know, they've started their footy together right from the start. And I think, you know, they're both just as, you know, committed, and they want the same success as each other. And I think, you know, they respect and love this club so much. And yeah, I'm really excited to see them work together, because yeah, you can already tell that they're just, yeah, working really well together, which is, yeah, awesome to see.
Yeah, that's wonderful to hear. And I guess just lastly on Chelsea Randall, we know that she's played pretty much everywhere around the ground. She's been at full back, she's been a full forward, played through the midfield. Has she got a set role for this year, or is she going to be floating around? Are we going to finally see her in the ruck maybe? What's happening there?
You're up. Yeah, honestly, like I don't even think I could give you, yeah, I don't think I could even give you an answer, to be honest. Like Doc always throws her around everywhere, basically. I think that's what's so good about her as well. Like she has that utility behind her. You really can put her anywhere. And I guess, like, you'd know, like every team that you come up against is different. Like they might be a bit taller in the defense or the forward line. You just don't know. So I think having Randy and the flexibility there is really awesome. But I don't even know myself, but yeah, a bit of probably, yeah, a bit of defense, maybe in the forward line too. Just kind of depends where we really need her in which game. Yeah, I guess we need her, but yeah, it's good to have her and that flexibility as well. It's good.
Yeah, and she's such an asset in that regard. I guess speaking of rucks, which apparently Chelsea Randall's probably the one role she won't have.
Yeah, probably not.
you've lost Montana McKinnon to the Tigers, which kind of leaves Jess Allen as the main recognised ruck. We saw a few other players did go through the ruck in the match simulations, and we know that you yourself are a premiership ruck. So how's the ruck shaping up this year? Is it going to be mostly Jess, or are there other players that are going to be helping out there?
Yeah, I would probably say Jess would be our primary ruck. She's worked like super hard in the off season and the pre-season, and she's gotten herself really fit. And yeah, she's looking really good this season. So it wouldn't surprise me if she has a breakout year, to be honest. And yeah, so hopefully I'll be pinch hitting in the ruck as well as playing forward, which I don't mind as well. I think, you know, I've only really just started playing forward, so I think having that asset to my game has been awesome to just like learn heaps about, but obviously still have so much to learn, which is what excites me as well. But to kind of get around the footy and be around the mids as well, I feel like that'll be really fun for me to just, you know, just free up a bit and just play footy, I guess. But yeah, we also have our recruit Lily, and she's been doing really well in the preseason. She's yeah, improved massively. So yeah, it's a tough one, because I think, yeah, again, like we have that flexibility as well. But yeah, Jess, she's doing really well so far. So yeah, it's exciting to see, and can't wait to see what she brings to the table this season.
Yeah, that's super. And I guess on you playing up forward, Al Jones and Daniel Ponta formed a pretty potent forward mix last year, combining for 57 goals between you, which is an amazing return, especially given, as you said, you're kind of new to the forward craft. One of the things that we were quite impressed by with that was that Daniel Ponta actually spent more time up the ground and yet kicked more goals. That was really impressive. Is that something that's set to continue?
Yeah, I think she has that ability that, she can really play anywhere. And I think obviously her connection with Jess and the Rock is really, really good. And just like her CV work is excellent as well. And I think she just has that natural ability to like run those offensive patterns. And I think with her, like, yeah, it generally just comes natural to her. And I feel like she just pulls a lot of things out of her ass, to be honest.
Oh
Like,
yeah.
she's just a freak. She's got so much like X Factor talent. And I think, yeah, it's a real asset to have that we get to have her in the mids, and then for her to produce goals down forward, it's super cool. And it wouldn't surprise me if she, yeah, continues to do the same thing this season.
Yeah, and we also know that she can kick goals from beyond halfway, so
Yeah,
definitely
exactly.
worth having her in the midfield. Another midfielder who we know loves a goal. We chatted with Anne Hatchard on the program last year, and she said she likes spending time up forward. Is that something that's happened a bit over preseason, or has Matthew Clark told her to stay in the midfield where we hope she stays from a fantasy perspective?
She's obviously natural in the midfield, and obviously is, yeah, you know, she's her massive strength is her hard ball get kind of type of player. But she, you know, her even in the trial game that we had against Port, like her, like just her transition running is just awesome. And I think she kicked two goals as well. So like her ability to just like run forward, I think just her natural ability to read the play, it was just like awesome as well. So yeah, she definitely, I'm sure, will sneak a few goals in and play a bit forward as well when whoever comes into the midfield to replace her as well. So and I know that she's been working really hard on her forward craft as well. So hopefully we'll see that a lot this season as well.
Yeah, nice. And she does form such a fantastic duo in that midfield with the new skipper, Ebony Marinoff, who fills out a stat line like very few people can. She's very impressive in there. I'm assuming she's the sort of person that would really rise to that captaincy role as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, Ebony's honestly one of the most hardworking people I've ever met in my whole entire life. Like, she and her ability to bring people with her along the way is just what's super special as well. She honestly wants to try and get anyone better, and you know, she'll do anything she can to like be able to help and support people along the way, which is awesome. But yeah, she again this year she's stepped her game up another level as well, and she's been again working on her forward craft things as well as the mid as well. So yeah, she's been doing a lot to help progress her game because she continuously wants to get better and improve every season as well, which is really awesome to see.
Yeah, no surprise there at all. And I guess moving to the other skipper, Sarah Allen, part of a very stingy defense. I mean, part of the reason why the Crows are so good is just because you've got a fantastic offense doesn't mean you don't need a great defense. And you've got that, of course. You've got Chelsea Biddle, who's just got her second All-Australian blazer, Sarah Allen as well. And seems like a bit of a luxury that you can play former league-leading goal kicker in Stevie Lee-Thompson off halfback. That's a bit ridiculous from a neutral perspective. But can you give us a bit of insight into that backline group and what makes them such a strong, cohesive unit?
Well, obviously Sarah Allen, like she had a bit of injury last season and season before that with a hammy. So I think, yeah, she's for her, yeah, it's been awesome to see that she, you know, during this preseason she's been able to train really hard and, you know, get back to the standard that, you know, she wants to meet and be able to play the footy that she's, you know, been playing for seasons. You know, I would know, like as a forward group, like it's bloody tough, you know, against that defense line. Like we honestly, like I'm probably a bit biased here, but it's probably definitely like one of the hardest defensive teams we have in the competition, honestly. Like we've got obviously Chelsea Bedell has been absolutely flying. She's been doing amazingly, even in our intra club She was probably best on ground, and then against Port, she's just that natural intercept mark defender, and she's just continuously being able to perform that. And then and then we've got Zoe Prowse, which I'm gonna pump up her tires because she is definitely gonna be a massive standout this year. So definitely I'd be looking out for her 100%. And yeah, she's been just working. She worked so hard in the off season, and she's been able to show that in this preseason. And I would not surprise me at all if she was to continue that during this season as well. So which is awesome to see her be like that as well. But it's a really exciting defensive group. So can't wait to see what they produce this season as well.
Yeah, Zoe Prowse looked phenomenal back there. She just sort of slotted seamlessly into what was already a pretty good back line. So, I mean, it must be fantastic having, younger players slot into those sorts of roles. And again, this offseason, a bit more of a quiet one other than Montana McKinnon leaving, but you've managed to bring in a few good young stars that, well, stars in the making, I suppose. We've already talked a bit about Lily Tarlington, but someone that has been of interest to us is Brooke Boileau, who was a star at South Adelaide, knows how to get the ball a lot. We know how tough it is to break into that Adelaide team, but how are those young players going, and are we likely to see any of them playing early on?
Yeah, I think Brooke's been a big standout this preseason. And I think she's honestly been just like she's just flourished in a sense of like being up against Ebony and Hatchie and bigger bodies, and she's honestly just like taken that on, and she's been honestly equally as hard, in the midfield as well. So she's progressing really well. And yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if she debuts this season, which is super exciting for her. But she's been doing really well, so can't wait to see what she produces this season as well. But super proud of how she's come out for her first season and just given it a massive crack, which is cool.
Yeah, fantastic. And I guess we'll probably just about leave it there, but we do have one question that we love to finish on. And we've mentioned a few. You've used the magical word, which is breakout year, but if you had to pick one player who looks set to have a really massive year this year from the Crows, who do you reckon that player would be?
Yeah, Zoe Prowse would definitely be one for me. She's worked super hard in this preseason, and I usually play against her in most training, so we play against each other. So but I think majority of the group would say the same thing as well. She's worked super hard. She's gotten a lot stronger and fitter, and just her speed as well, like she's gotten a lot faster as well. So I think she's added all these elements to her game, which will allow her to have an awesome season. I'll also mention Hannah Munyard. So she's also had like an amazing preseason, and she's been playing a little bit in the midfield as well, and which has created a lot more speed in our attack. So she'll be one to definitely look out for as well. So I wish I could say the whole team, because honestly we've had a really strong preseason, and I really hope that we continue to work on that in this season. But as they will say, every team gets better every single season. But I really think that we've done the hard yards, and it's just, I guess, putting it into play now. So super exciting. Can't wait to see how we go.
Yeah, we're very excited too, and the prospect of the Crows just getting better is a scary one every single year. Caitlin Gould, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Wow, yeah, an interview with Caitlin Gould. That was very exciting. I could hear the excitement in your voice. What was the thing you enjoyed the most about it?
Yeah, it was super interesting as well, because Adelaide's a club that, we know what they're going to present every year. So I don't tend to go into these Adelaide ones thinking there's going to be a whole lot of new information, but she provided some really interesting tidbits, which was quite interesting. And the ruck setup is one that we're particularly interested in with Montana McKinnon. So I will say that that has made me rethink my ruck structure, but I'll go into that a little bit later.
Yeah. I think my highlight of that interview was hearing her talk about how Ponta Blaise pulling a lot out of her ass. I've got to say, I was not expecting to hear that. I definitely chuckled at that one. Okay, cool. So let's get into our top five most fantasy relevant players. I mean, shocking who's at number one.
Yeah, number one can't be anyone else. It is the number one player in the game, Ebony Marinoff. Averaged a massive 127 last year. 128, sorry, even more. So, yeah, she's the best fantasy player in the game. At the moment, she's basically taken over that Kiara Bowers role of do you pick her or do you not? I think a lot of people are trending towards you do because she's just so good at what she does. Fills out a stat line like very few players can. Has a massive ceiling, scored 174 in one game last year, and has been able to, you know, pump out scores over 130, 140 with ease.
Yeah.
And she's taking on more responsibility this year as the captain, and as you would have heard in that interview, she's the sort of player that works her bum off and just, you know, is going to just keep improving as a player. So I find it really challenging to build a team without Ebony Marinoff in it at this stage.
Yeah, I think one of our long-time segments has been to Bowers or not to Bowers. I think we're going to be talking a lot about to Noffy or not to Noffy this season because of the only flag I can think about it with your starting squad is that her bye round, her double round is in round 7, which is the last of the doubles. So she's a very expensive player to put in your side who, I mean, she can be your captain round 1, 2, 3, but then you're going to need other captain options if you want to maximise, you know, on the bye rounds for 4, 5, 6. Being so expensive, are people going to be able to start with her and afford her, or are people going to kind of go for a higher performing mid that satisfies them across those other rounds and then not be able to afford Noffy? Like, we're talking about a lot of money in your midline. But outside of that, she's an absolute lock. If we weren't having this crazy buy rounds, I mean, you'd be silly not to have her. But I'm yet to decide in my most recent shuffle if what I'm kind of doing with my mids. What are you thinking here?
Look, to me, I think that even with that later buy round, she's still going to be pumping out scores that are going to be really, really massive. And even though she is very expensive, most expensive player in the game, she's one of the few players that I think can justify that scoring. Like I think that there's a distinct chance that she might start the year, let's just say, with a underperforming average of 115 and she'll lose, you know, 200k, but she might start the year against Port Adelaide and pump out 150, and then she goes up in price. And then what do you do? I think with Marinoff, the risk of her staying at a high price because her average stays that high is enough for me to think I'll sort out the buy round players in the rest of my midfield. I'm just going to lock her in, stick the big captaincy C on her.
Yep.
Off you go. And I think it also means that you're going to be getting a player who can, realistically, she can compete with players that you are going to put as your captain across the buy rounds. That's how good she's at scoring. Like, that if she pumps out 170, let's say in round 6, you might have had Charlie Rowbottom, or I can't remember who's got the actual double buy on that week, but you might be picking someone who scores maybe 200. So you've got a player there who is only scoring 30 more points from 2 games compared to a 1 game from Marinoff. That's just, it's scoring that is barely comprehensible in these AFLW games. And that's why, for me, I think if you don't pick Marinoff, yes, you're saving a lot of money, but you're taking a big risk on missing out on the premium scorer in the game.
Yeah, no, I feel the same. I'm not too sure how I'm going to overcome that, but one option maybe is to go with a slightly cheaper but also fantastic Adelaide mid.
Yeah, so the other one is our previous friend of the pod, Anne Hatchard, been a fantasy, very fantasy relevant player for quite a while now. If it wasn't for Ebony Marinoff, Anne Hatchard would be a player that got talked about a lot more because she just also continues to rack up the ball. Average 103 last year, which is nothing to sniff at. And she did get cop a few tags. She's had a couple of injuries in recent seasons as well, but she's still really hard to tag. Her strength is she's just such a gut runner and she can take marks, which is fantastic. We did hear that she has been working on her forward craft, but they're probably just going to stick her in the midfield, which is exactly what we wanted to hear. Yeah. And given the power that they have in that midfield with Marinoff and a couple of other players who we'll talk about, I don't think that there's too much concern. It's basically just whether you want to double up on the Adelaide players. And I don't think picking Hatchard's a bad call by any stretch for your M3 or 4. Doesn't have the ceiling that Marinoff has, but obviously no one really does. But she still scored like a big 133 last year against Essendon. So we know she can pump out big scores. So I think she's a pretty safe bet for one of your other midfielders if that's the path that you do want to go down.
Hatchard was someone I had in my team. I mean, on the kind of Hatchard versus Noffey debate, I've often landed Hatchard in the past. I love them both, though. So, yeah, it's you can't really go wrong with either one of those. It's just a price, kind of how you want to tackle the buy rounds strategy, I guess. Number three, though, is someone that I haven't really thought about that much up until this season.
Yeah, it's the mercurial, able to pull things out of her ass player, Danielle Ponta. She really is one of the most talented players in the whole competition. She's, you know, freakish around the ball with what she can do. She's incredibly smart in what she can do as well at getting out of stoppages, making things happen creatively, even if some of it is a bit fluky, as Caitlin Gould said. But what really impresses me about Danielle Ponta is, other than a couple of lower scores in the opening half of the year, she had a 32 in round one and a 37 against Gold Coast in round five. She actually didn't drop below 50 for the entire season. So finished the year really, really well, scoring 89 and 88 in the finals. Helped a lot by a lot of tackles, and she also kicked three goals in the prelim. But that's absolutely elite scoring. And as we mentioned as well, she was up the ground a lot more, so she was getting involved. She had a career high 24 disposals in the semi-final against Sydney, and she kicked 20 goals playing more as a midfielder. She is absolutely primed to explode. And it's a player that, kind of like you said, Mel, like, I'd always watched her and gone, oh, she's such an impact player. Maybe she's not a player that I'm really interested in fantasy sense. But in particular for this episode, I sort of sat back and looked at the stats and went, gee, she had an absolutely ripper year last year. Maybe she is a premium forward option. And given, like, she is priced that little bit under, like, those really, you know, big fantasy names that we talk about. She's priced at 805, average of 62. Like, if you take out those 230s and add those 80s that she scored in the finals, she's basically pushing a 70 average that really puts her in that conversation for top five. And it's a player that has floated in and out of my plans for that reason, because I think she could be an underpriced option.
Yeah, Danielle Ponta is an interesting one, and we did speak quite a bit about her in our forward line-by-line episode. We put her in the underpriced premium bucket, but, like, she was a little bit more expensive. Like you said, with that 62, she's coming at that interesting price where she could go up into the premium, but there's almost, like, potentially some more explosive players in the forward line that you could take with a slightly lower average. So she is a tricky price player. Like, if you've got some extra cash and you're like, who would be great to watch, who can slot into that role, it could be Ponta. I do like that she's coming with such a good average. I think from kind of what we were discussing, that and we heard it on the Caitlin Gould interview as well, her role this year is going to be similar to last year. And last year she had that kind of unique role where she was attending the CBAs but then having a real impact on the game forward. Definitely one that's having a huge impact for Adelaide. And it did correspond to fantasy points last season. But if she does that same role again, something the guys were mentioning is, like, not sure where those extra points could come from, because last year was already such a good season for her with a really unique role. I think she'll probably end up being one that I watch again this season and don't actually put into my team, because her middle price, as well as this kind of, like, where would the extra points come from, is a tricky player, but a great one to watch and consider for, like, something like a buy round or an injury replacement player.
Yeah, and for me, I think that the extra points for her will have to come from disposals, which is why that 24 disposals against Sydney does interest me. And yeah, if we can see that in that midfield role, that's going to be where it comes from. Because I think that a 20-goal season, fantastic season, if she replicates that, I think she's worth it anyway. But if she can do that and add an average of, let's say, 15 to 20 disposals, that's where she's going to push from a 60 average up to towards an 80. And it's definitely not a sure thing. We know that Adelaide do have a lot of players that can run through those roles, but it's one that really does interest me. And it's floating around in my forward line plans, I'll say that.
Yeah, because she does have this benefit of, like, if she's having that same role and she had a really great season last season, something we're predicting with quite a lot of these forwards is a reduction in average and some loss in some cash. So if she's not regressing to the mean and if she's keeping that, to pick a player priced at 60 who's going to average 60 is actually quite good value in your forward line and you might not have to worry about trade. So she does have that advantage as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so solid number three there. Number four, I'm quite excited about this one. Let's chat rucks.
Yeah, so I was one of the people that was very keen on Montana McKinnon. I was keen on the mid-price ruck option. Unfortunate ACL injury, but the player that has really moved into contention as a mid-price ruck is Jess Allen. Talked about in that interview, Caitlin Gould used the magical phrase breakout year in
I
regards
do
to
love to
Jess
hear
Allen,
that.
which is exactly what we want to hear. But yeah, she is priced at a modest average of 53, so just under 700K. Seems like the number one ruck spot is there for her to take, which is good. So Jess Gould did say that she's probably going to be pinch hitting, but Jess Allen will be the primary ruck. She did miss a year of footy due to work commitments, so coming back last year, probably a little bit rusty. Had some really solid scores across last year. So she had an 88 against Melbourne, which was good, and then tailed off a bit as the season went on, which isn't unexpected for a player who's missed a year. So I think she's a player that can really take that 53 average and boost that up over 60 to maybe 65, which might be enough to justify selecting her, especially if you do want to save a bit of money and go elsewhere. So at the moment, she is in my team, but due to my ever-shifting forward line structure, I still may decide to go for a bit of money and bump her up to a more premium option. But I think if you are going for a mid-priced option and you are someone who is looking to replace Montana McKinnon, Jess Allen is probably the place to go.
Yeah, I agree. It does save rebuilding the rest of your team to swap. Like, the reason we were panicking so much was because there was only really one good mid-priced ruck, and when they go down, you either replace it with another mid-priced ruck or you restructure to find a lot of money to upgrade. So I do like it. It feels like a nice, easy transition. And the other thing I like about this is that when we were looking so much at Montana McKinnon, it was, oh, well, Jess Allen was the primary ruck, but they were dual rucking. And on the weeks where Jess Allen wasn't there, we could see Montana McKinnon have really great scores last season. But Jess Allen was already the primary ruck in a dual ruck role. Oh, for someone that can't say ours, why do I keep doing that? Whew. Yeah, if those extra kind of hit outs are now going to Jess Allen, who's primary ruck, with maybe a bit of pinch hitting coming in from Caitlin Gould there, that's an extra, like, that's where the point increase can come from. And she's mid-priced. I don't think she's going to be like a an Ali Morford or anything and skyrocket like some of our rucks did last season, but she's a nice, reliable, going to increase a little bit at least, ruck to slot into your Montana McKinnon spot without having to rebuild your whole team. So she's in my side as well, and I'm quite excited for it.
Very nice.
And you're number five. This was a name I haven't heard much about.
Yes, it's draftee Brooke Boileau, and the reason why I picked Brooke Boileau is basically she was a superstar midfielder for South Adelaide prior to being drafted. I can't remember exactly what she averaged, but she was racking up possessions for fun. And essentially, if she can make her way into the Adelaide team, we've got ourselves a potentially high-scoring rookie midfielder. From what we heard from Caitlin Gould, it sounds like a early season debut is probably unlikely, and that's not really a surprise given the strength of Adelaide as a team. But I think she becomes really relevant as one of those players that if we can sense a debut's coming, let's say around those bye rounds or a bit later in the season, she could be an absolutely perfect downgrade option for, you know, if you're starting with a Sinead Goodyear or Piper Window, for example, if they've made their money, send them downwards to Boileau. Boileau can hopefully make you a quick 100, 200K, depending on what her scoring is. And then you can get a little bit of an extra late windfall in terms of your money generation later in the year.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a name I'll pencil in for. Don't forget about it during the season. If I read a team sheet and see she's listed to join the squad or as an in, then great option to have. Hopefully times in well. Like, we do like to hear a rookie might be debuting later in the season because it takes the pressure off the starting squad, but a name that you can be excited about as a downgrade option later. So I do like that. And my Mel special for Adelaide, I got to say, when I was skimming your notes before when you sent me your top five, I saw Allen in number four. I thought that you meant Sarah Allen, and I was like, great. I'm surprised, but great. I'm going to go her sister, Jess Allen, and talk about this whole ruck position for my Mel special. And then I realized you actually meant Jess Allen, and I was like, you know what? That's okay too, because I'll just go back to Sarah Allen. I mean, probably the less exciting of the two options, but Sarah Allen, defender priced at 37. She missed a lot of the 2023 season with a hamstring injury, and she came back in round 9. So she had pretty limited time on ground at the back end of last season, and she was only averaging really 31 through the finals, so potentially just easing back in. Someone that they probably wanted on the field because they would have wanted their All-Australian defender to get them through those finals and hopefully get Adelaide a win. But maybe she came back a little bit too early. Who knows? But if she's coming back into season 9 fit and ready, she can increase her average for sure. She's a very experienced player with kind of 69 or so games under her belt. She hasn't seen the most relevant fantasy score averages in the last couple, but if you go back to season 6, there was definitely some increased potential there. I think she's a bit of a, I wouldn't say risky pick, because if she comes in healthy and returns to where she was in kind of season 8, that's not a huge increase on her average. But I think she's had some very big oscillations from like single digits up to 70s, I believe, in the last few seasons. But yeah, I mean, out of some of the other options at Adelaide, she's one that looks like she's coming in underpriced. So could get you a little bit there if you're wanting to start with a rookie defender or rookie-ish price defender that you want to hold for a few rounds.
Yeah, I think she's definitely underpriced. I think she should increase from the 37 that she did average, fit and firing, new skipper. For me, the biggest worry with Sarah Allen is that her upside is 10 points maybe. I think that you can get cheaper players such as a Lauren Butler or a Kate Lutkins, who we'll talk about in the Brisbane episode, who are cheaper priced with higher potential. So I think that Sarah Allen is a viable option, but I think there's probably other options in that defense you can go for.
I agree, but I was struggling.
Yeah, they're not an easy side to pick Adelaide. That's why I went for the potential mid-season rookie downgrade as at my number 5, because with the exception of, I think the top 4 are all really interesting, but I think the rest you're probably going to be getting about as expected. So
yeah,
it's part of the reason why Adelaide is so good, is that we know what we're going to get from Adelaide. It's going to be fantastic on field. Fantasy-wise, probably not a whole lot of upside for a lot of players, but I still think that they've got some really interesting scorers that we can put into your team.
Yeah. Well, that's our Adelaide Crows preseason team review. Not too many left now, which is quite exciting. Join us next time for our North review. If you want to have a look at our Adelaide Best 21s, you can head to our Instagram and Twitter for our socials there at FreeKickWPod. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts on the Free Kick stream, or our line-by-line reviews and a couple of other preseason episodes will be out on the official AFLW Fantasy stream. Wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube, at FreeKickWPod. I've been Mel.
And I've been Will.
Chat to you later.
See you, everyone.